Blog Talk Radio.
Good. If I would learn to navigate which mouse is which, I need to like put markers on all of them. Welcome. Good afternoon and welcome to Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. I am Tracy Winbush. With me I have Larry Long. And today we are going to talk about a topic that's not spoken about often, but I think he has been talked about more since he got in the media than any other person alive on the face of the planet ever in life, in the history of the world. Donald J. Trump has been talked about, written about in the media. No other man on the face of the planet. And today's question is Trump a hero or a you fill in the blank? I'm asking everyone, please be courteous because everyone has their own opinion, their own views, their own processing. And just because we don't agree doesn't mean that we can't be have a good conversation about it. We've got to start talking about things again. And we can't be so disagreeable that we can't maintain friends. What's the cliche, Larry? We're going to disagree, but not what's it?
Agree to disagree.
We've got to start doing that. My concern about President Trump, when you go after the most powerful man in the world, no one is above the law, but you don't fracture your institutions based on politics and personalities. We are watching people weaponize our freedoms and our justice system for their own political gain. And I'm not going to say this is not the first time it was done, because the Republicans did the same thing to Bill Clinton. This is what I'm saying to you. I know I do not agree with adulterous affairs. I do not agree with Lewinsky. I do not agree with extra. I don't agree with fornication. I don't agree with a lot of things. And inside of our politics, no man walks on water and is perfect. And we need to get that out of our heads. But my concern is when you weaponize your presidency, your Congress, and your Supreme Court, and you use it against personalities for political gain, beware of the outcome. Because I am learning from my own experiences. For every action, there is a reaction. And there is a consequence for your decisions, good or bad or indifferent. And America needs to stop playing this political football game. Because we are not footballs. We are people.
A lot to unpack there. I would say I would agree with everything you just said, except the weaponization of the Supreme Court. They are actually the only ones that have stayed out of this. You remember, they didn't take up too many of the cases as far as the 2020 election, because historically the Supreme Court and the judicial system, especially after what happened in the 2000 fiasco with the hanging chads and all that down in Florida, they stayed out of the fray. Now they've been attacked. Okay. You know what I mean? You had Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, on the right outside the steps there, you know, attack and singled out a couple of justices. But the Supreme Court, and I don't like to give Justice Roberts too much because I'm not a big fan, but they have pretty much stayed out of it. But you're right, everywhere else. All the way down now to a district attorney in the New York City has been weaponized.
So So,
because you remember, this guy initially took a look at it and took a pass at this, now that he's trying to make it from a misdemeanor to a felony, right?
So what you're saying is the balance of power actually works.
In one branch, but that it's not
working
in all three.
Is it working in one branch, but is it giving a stabilization? Because if we did not have the Supreme Court, as you said, being the outlier and not using it for a weapon, then
it could be a lot worse.
Where would we be? So now the question is, how do we get back to balancing and back to center again?
Well, the Supreme Court is a classic example of what you've been talking about and what we're seeing right now by the weaponization by the powers in one branch or the other, correct? For the longest, you weren't able to vote cloture.
Yeah.
And nominations for the Senate for judicial offices, correct? And you had to come to some kind of consensus or put forward a candidate that was that could get the enough votes to vote cloture and do that. Until Harry Reid did that. Remember?
Is that called the nuclear option. Is that called precedent?
Is that what they call that? Yeah, he broke
precedent. What happened?
And he was warned at that time. Tracy,
okay, so stop.
It was going to come back and bite him.
Nuclear option broke precedent. Right. When we break precedent, we don't understand what doors, they call them Pandora's boxes, we open. So now look at what's going on in New York with President Trump. This is the first time I can recall after reading, studying, trying to figure this out, that we have seen politics come back around and it be used as a weapon against a former president, even if he is seeking reelection.
It's never happened.
And when you politicize the presidency to this level, outside of the office into private business and into personal affairs. And again, precedents, Bill Clinton. Because when I read of the other presidents, the presidents and other men who have been in power and the things that they have done and the history that is coming out about them, we need to quit, you know, casting stones at one man in all of it. We revere JFK to this day, and we know Maryland was around the corner. Please explain this. Don't get me wrong, I am not condoning bad behavior, but we all are the same. No one walks on water and none is perfect. And here we have Donald J. Trump. Is he a hero? Because is he standing up for the freedoms of America? Are they going after him? Because every time they erode his freedoms, they erode ours. If my understanding is correct, grand jury is supposed to be secret. I don't understand how a secret can be a worldwide known fact. Do you?
They're also not supposed to publish Supreme Court opinion pieces before they've been released either. That was the first.
So here we go with precedent. Here we go with platform. Is this exposure that President Trump has somewhat seems to put a light on a lot since he came down the escalator? A lot of exposure on a lot of things in America has happened. And the lights came on so bright that most of us ran and got scared. But now that we have adjusted to the lights that are on, do we understand where we are and how are we going to get out of this and what are we going to do? Because it's not getting better.
I guess that's to be continued. That open question you just asked, because people with all this stuff now that's in there, is he going to get some cuffs? Are they going to perp walk him? Are they going to get it? You know, we're going to get to see the picture of him being arrested. In the meantime, we don't realize that we're throwing more money at banks that were banks in name only. You know that bank, the SV Silicon Valley Bank,
yes.
93%. I don't think people realize what they're saying there. 93% of the depositors in that bank were not FDIC insured. What that means is that 93%, 93 out of 100 depositors had deposited in excess of $250,000. So it wasn't Tracy and Larry and most of our listeners deposited in this bank. This was big money bank. I think Roku had nearly $500 million of cash deposited in that bank. Now, here's the problem with that. Inflation caused them to be upside down, right? Because a bank don't have it. They don't make anything.
That's
they
correct.
Take your
they
money,
make money.
Right? Yeah, they take your money and then loan it to somebody or invest it in something that gives them a return. That's it. That's what the banks do. Except this bank got upside down and had too much of it in long-term treasury bills. Now, they're guaranteed long-term, but their cash flow on the front end was low. And why is that? Because of the interest rates from the Fed. If you look at the stock market now, you know, we're guaranteeing all these deposits.
Larry,
let me tell you how.
We no longer print money.
Yeah, it's just
money is just dots on a line, and we want to say that we don't have a digital currency. But when you play around with dollar bills now, they feel funny to you. When people give you change, it's like it's a hindrance. What do I do with this? Do you understand that we have gone into a digital currency, not even walking into it, not even knowing that we walked into it, eyes wide shut?
But then we just go through all this, the bank bailouts of 2008?
See, this is not about bank bailouts. This is about world currency and the dollar bill.
We're sitting here carrying on a conversation about, is a former president going to be indicted for some crazy stuff? But over here, the real important stuff's happening, and nobody's paying attention to it.
Did you see the meeting yesterday with Xi Jinping and Putin?
He said China was going to just step into that void, that leadership void.
Do you understand the posturing here? And we're still talking about somebody that had a Lewinsky named Dusty? That's not my concern. I mean, seriously. If you don't want to vote for him again, let free course run. Have at it. President Trump, you have the right to run. If people want to vote for you, if you can make it to the primary, if you can raise the money, do whatever you want to do. It's America. It's free. Tell the truth. Expose the truth on everyone. But this little, you know, smoke and mirrors, three-card molly that we're playing with our lives right now, information, is killing us from the root, Larry. And you are walking into it when we talking about taking care of our parents, taking care of our grandchildren. How do you prepare for your grandchildren and take care of your parents, and we're not prepared in the middle?
That's what I'm saying. It's a big distraction. I told my wife last night, she said, well, what do you think? I said, well, one, I equated it to the Star Wars analogy, right, where Obi-Wan Kenobi was fighting Darth Vader, and he tells Darth Vader, if you strike me down, I'll become more powerful than you can imagine. That's exactly what they'll be doing should they proceed with this and go ahead and arrest him or indict him and everything.
But
on the flip side, if nothing happens – doesn't bother me. I'm to your point, I'm a little bit more concerned because not the sole reason that inflation is like it is, but a big reason that inflation is like it is because of we just poured all this money into the system, right? Then you turn around and we're going to guarantee these depositors. Listen, if you're a company and you're flush with cash, which most companies were flush with cash, if you got more than 20% of your cash tied up in one bank,
you're in trouble.
And that bank goes, yeah, well, and if you lose, right, that's on you, that because you're not being fiscally responsible as that CFO or the president of that bank. But if you put 20% of all your cash in one, greater than 20%, and you lose it, that's on you. That shouldn't be on the federal, the Fed, which is not a part of the federal government, or taxpayers ultimately at the end.
The problem is, if we're not careful, it's all going to come falling down like London bridges. We are so fragile right now as a nation. I was having dinner last night, and my friends were telling me about they're doing reparations in California to something like $5
million. And $5 million, guaranteed income, wipe your debt free, a house for a dollar.
Who's paying for this stuff? I mean, don't get me wrong. I want mine. If you send me a dollar, I need it, and I'm going to spend it. But do you understand that we cannot continue on this trajectory and think it's going to be successful? There is a brick road in front of us, and the wall is coming in, and if we don't correct ourselves, we're going to walk our way into it, and we're too old to change it.
We're picking up speed the closer we get, Tracy. That's the thing, because there is a hard stop, right? But then it's almost – I heard somebody ask an economist, if you wanted to make this country weak, what would you do, right? And he said exactly what this administration is doing. I wouldn't change a thing if that was the goal.
But this administration represents we the people, because the people have been underinformed, and they have been sensationalized into a frenzy that reality and life are different, because reality is reality television, and they can't differentiate between the two. I think people still think they're watching television, and this is The Apprentice. I'm serious. This, we are not living in reality television. Indicting a former president over misdemeanor charges because you need something to do to hit the headlines because you don't want him to be a candidate for office when the whole country is on fire. You've got California in a freeze, somewhere else in a heat storm. Here in the Midwest, we don't know what season it is. We're so lost, we're just in a spinning top. People think that they're saving money and they're losing money. We're churning, we're grinding. Our kids don't have any leadership. No family. Literally, they have no moms and dads. And the moms and dads they do have, they love them, but they don't know what to do with them because we didn't teach them. And we're talking about President Trump. And no one wants to know, what is he done that is so egregious that everybody hates him?
That's I joined Twitter not because, well, you know, I talk a lot, so I can't get my sentence, I can't get what I got to say in the 128 characters, right? So, but the reason I joined it is because when Elon was buying it, everybody was coming out against him. I was like, okay, then I want to see what it's all about, right? You know, if somebody, and that's part of Trump's appeal when he came out. I mean, because before he did Hillary in 2016, he laid waste to the entire GOP field. Everybody, Cruz, Rubio, our guy, Kasich, Christie,
Huckabee,
Mike Huckabee. I mean, he Santorum just laid waste to everybody. Put a nail in the coffin of the Bush dynasty.
That's true.
With Jeb.
Who would I mean, you remember Jeb was sending out DVD players.
He destroyed them all, right? And then he destroyed the... You know, they had that video montage of all these people saying that he'd never be president, right? And then all of a sudden, they got to deal with him being president. And, you know, I think some of the his supporters misconstrued his swamp analogy. When he said swamp, they assumed that he was talking about Democrats. I think they didn't look at what he did to the Republican field because there was a bunch of swamp rats up on that stage with him too, right? Romney was in that field too, correct?
Oh, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And I land no blame. Hold on, Larry. I got a call. 646, you're on here. How are you?
I'm good. Just listening.
Okay. Thanks for
listening.
Just listening
to it right now. Mm.
Thanks. Go ahead, Larry.
Thanks for listening. But so I think that's what they fear the most, because he gets another 4 years and he understands that not everybody is on his team. And thinking the same thought process and along the same line.
Baby, he gets a do-over. It's over. Because now he knows the system and the process, because he's walked through it before. He's dangerous now, and he has nowhere to go, and they can't control him. And that's what happens when you can't control people.
Yes. And to go back to the original theme, is a hero, or I think you put A and then a question mark.
That's it.
I go with hero, Tracy, because if that man were to just, if he would come on TV today, right, and say, listen, I was wrong. The Joe Biden won the 2020 election and, you know, just did a mea culpa and got all this stuff would stop.
Would it really? No, Larry, there's no way. There's no way for he couldn't come back for that. Come from that, like Will Smith can't come back from slapping Chris Rock.
And Chris said the same thing last night. I think it was last night. He was talking. They did the Mark Twain Award, and I can't remember what it was, but he said the same thing. Basically, the same analogy I gave with Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
It was the same way. He said, "You're gonna make that guy more popular if you." Indict him and do all that.
You're looking at Chris Rock, and don't get me wrong, President Trump can't come out and apologize. They will not give him credit because they wouldn't cover it. And again,
but it would leave him alone, leave his family alone.
It wouldn't. It wouldn't do it, even if he wouldn't, because again, he did not lose the election. He lost the campaign. Should I say that? I said that wrong. Because do you understand, every state has its own laws, and every state has its own referees over its laws. And if you don't know all the referees, all the laws in all the states, you can't go by. You can't get it done. And they weren't savvy enough, have time enough to be, and we were moving so fast in 20. That he lost the campaign, and he won the campaign, but he lost the election because the referees had bad calls, and you can't overturn bad calls in football games, and that's what happened. And President, if he came out and said that, they wouldn't give him a pass because they haven't liked him since the beginning, and I think it's because they can't control him. Would you say?
I would say that's a big reason, yes.
I mean, look at Jim Jordan today. Jim Jordan said, let me be one of the first. So where are we going to go as African Americans? Larry?
I would say this, Tracy. When you go back, if I could, on the... The every state has its different votes, right?
Right.
Well, let's compare and contrast a couple states, right? And I'll use Texas, where I'm at right now.
Okay.
There was over 11 million votes cast, right?
Right.
That's a third of the population in Texas voted in the 2020 election.
Okay.
We knew who won by 11 o'clock that night,
okay.
Central Time. Arizona roughly 3.2 million votes cast, a third of what it had been. And we had to wait for how long?
Okay, let me
in the same way with Georgia, right?
But let me
I don't live there.
But let me explain what's happening with that. Again, we had states like Ohio, Texas, and a couple others. We are more politically savvy when it came down to running extended mail-in balloting. We were already prepared. You know, Kim.
They knew this was happening.
But they couldn't move that fast, nor did they have the network of communication. And again, you had people who were politicizing on the ground, bad calls based on law. Because remember, they were usurping law to get things to happen because they couldn't get it done in a certain amount of time. One, and because they were doing that, you had referees, whether it be Secretary of State or whoever does their election calling, and every state was making rules based on whatever. And those
were
bad
football
calls.
What's the U.S. Constitution say? What's it say? It says the legislatures of those states are the ones that do the election law.
Again,
They broke the law, what you're saying.
But we all broke the law in most states because they changed the law or they didn't go back in the session. Remember when they sued Mike DeWine for who was in charge of shutting down the health department or the governor?
For COVID?
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember, things were happening that never happened before. People didn't know what to do. And they were changing laws about
election. There's nothing in the U.S. Constitution that tells Mike DeWine what to do with his health secretary. The health secretary serves at his pleasure. But election law is clearly spelled out in that Constitution on who does the law, and it's the legislature.
Every state, they were moving and dancing to different laws. And if you didn't know how to move and dance to the laws that was in, they got bad calls.
They had Secretary of State writing that law, and that's not.
They were setting precedents that were outside of the law, going back to grand jury and Donald Trump. They're setting precedents. They're setting up things that are going to run into the future that we're going to have problems with.
Did you read what all these Democrats or the left? Because there's even Democrats that are saying, "Yeah, this is not right." You know what I mean? That's happened. Joe Manchin and several others have come out and said, "Yeah, that's not right." But they've said, and I remember Nancy Pelosi's going back to this, that nobody's above the law.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything if you're going to allow Secretary of State to usurp the U.S. Constitution.
Again, it's football. It's like referees. You have a board of elections. You have people who are governing, and they have good calls and bad calls. Again, precedent. Again, grand jury is supposed grand jury is supposed to be secret. What goes on in there is supposed to be silent. That's it. That's all. That's the law of the land. Somehow we know everything going on.
It's a bad call.
Bad call.
It could have been taken up by the Supreme Court.
And was not.
To what my point, it wasn't because they've historically tried to stay out of an election and being as their that's the only branch thus far that's not abdicated their responsibility as far as what the U.S. Constitution says on this equal but separate powers, right?
Right. But you understand where I'm coming from.
Well, I understand. I'm just saying than a call. Maybe the bad call in a game is not a good analogy. Just because this is a bad call is you miss a holding penalty or you miss an interception or interference with the receiver. What happened is they took the football and left.
Right.
Right.
Referee.
So that's not a bad call. That's just. Why you can't play the game
again? But every some states you can take the football and go home and come back, based on the state.
It's never happened in the history of this thing. Now, there's been recount. There was a recount with.
Don't get me
GW
wrong.
And Gore.
I do not agree with any of this, and I think the politicizing of all of this is again, it is eroding, again, precedent. It is eroding our future.
Well, when you set precedent, the problem, this is, we went back, Tracy, we went back. I agree. There should be term limits. Because guess what? When that nuclear option happened during Obama's, I think it was Obama's last 2 years in office when Harry Reid did that. You know, there's a bunch of Republicans that are still in the Senate today, right? That remember that because they were there.
Oh, I'm quite
right?
sure. I'm
and
quite sure.
Always, and they always, and they was like, okay, what's good for the goose is good
but
for the gander.
Like,
and when
executive
we get power
orders,
again,
Larry,
we're going to do it.
Look at yeah. executive orders.
Well, that's the that's
look
the
at the governance. Again, look at the governance that we have established through executive orders that was not supposed to be, and we have a new precedent. Look at line item vetoes. Look at what we've done. Look at the debt ceiling. Look at the quantitative easing. Look at the taking the, you know, taking the money off of the gold standard. Look at all that we've done as Americans. And no, we don't want, and we're not a Black American, white American, Jewish. We're Americans. All carry that badge. And we are in a boatload of trouble as Americans because we're setting precedents. Freedom of speech. The simple things in life. I listened to Chris Rock. He said the N-word so many times, I got insulted because I was in a room full of white folks. And then I get calls from Black people getting mad at white people teaching their kid about the N-word. But they don't know whether to sing the N-word, say the N-word, or walk away from the N-word. You understand where I'm coming from? Everything is just so confusing and no longer simple. And President Trump, do you know what they're going to do to Americans if they actually indict this president? It will fracture the institution of the United States of America.
I don't, it's the death by a thousand cuts, right? Because, I mean, they, everybody, every lawyer, anybody with any law background will tell you, even if they progress with this, it goes to trial, and they convict him, it will never pass the muster through the appellate court.
This is
right?
not about muster. This is not this, about process. This is about
no,
precedent. You cannot do this.
They have continued to throw stuff out because guess what, Tracy? When this one disappears, you know what the next one on is? Next one online is the Georgia election interference.
Again, this
so,
has to stop. This is a bad merry-go-round.
This is all they got to throw against that guy. It's actually, if they go through with this, that will explain to you the level of desperation they are. Because, I mean, Ron DeSantis is going to look like he was clairvoyant in staying out and not announcing his run for the presidency against Trump. He'll never beat Trump with this. Mm. It won't happen.
Now
his base will be galvanized. And with all the others that have already declared, like what, Nikki Haley and probably a couple others that Youngkin was talking about, they will be the guys that haven't announced will be clairvoyant because they'll step aside. It will galvanize, and then no matter who they run, even if they was to drag Michelle Obama out, there's a clear contrast. All Trump got to say is, "Hey, look at my record, and then look at this one. If you're happy with the direction you are today, then you vote for that guy. If you're not, I'm your guy." I mean, it's as simple as that.
I'm going to ask you a question, Larry. I know that he'll win the primary hands down. He'll sell through this primary like 40 going north. But the general election is a different color and a different monster. And If it's Biden and Trump, that would be.
They better break out a new COVID.
That would be a. They'll
have to break out a new COVID, Tracy. I just.
But the question.
You galvanize his base, and then there's that middle ground, those folks that they call woke in, when they voted for Obama twice, but then when they voted for Trump, they were racist. That same woke folk, you know what I mean? Some of them may even set out the election in 2020.
But they will look at this and say,
I'm voting for Trump again.
But see, you've got a whole new Trump. You've got a whole new new generation of voters that will be coming in. And they will have watched this from the cheap seats and from social media and social media only and from their parents' views and from a lot of different dynamics. I mean, that changes the dynamic a lot because our young people are not us. When you talk to, I don't know what they're called, but they're in the 20s and 30s. Their mindset, their patriotism, their charity is totally different than anything that you and I were ever taught.
Well, for those, that same group, that age group that you're talking about, if they were in college, they had been indoctrinated to this country is evil, this country is bad, you know, racist, systemic. I love how they use the English language and use, if they say, oh, systemic racism, okay. Point me to the system that is racist, and I'll go fight it with you. And then they get tongue-tied. Or all of a sudden, you trap me with that. I don't want to talk anymore. Because, I mean, if you're saying systemic racism, that means there's a system.
There is.
In place.
There is.
Well,
and there has been. And there will be. But you can
overcome.
Where's
the system today?
It's still there.
Today?
It's still there.
No, point it. What's the
banking system? Entrepreneurial system.
Banking system how?
The networking system. And how? Because of access. And that's another show. But I
just have that show because I want to have that because I don't believe there's a system in place.
The system is important because the media itself is a system. It's systemic of a system that is racist. And the same system that told me that black men were violent, that black men were that we're lazy is the same system that's telling me that President Trump is a racist and he doesn't want anything for America. Same system, same way, that's systemic. But everything is not systemic. Sometimes you're just playing along with the rodeo. But you don't know. But don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Because remember, for a very, very long time, you never saw a white man in an orange jumpsuit. And they would go find buckwheat to interview at every crime scene. And we went through this every single cycle. And right now, to this day, we still do not own the media in which we sing on, that we play on, and that we talk on, even including the internet and the mediums that we're on. And yet we still celebrate things that are not true. So yes, the system is still systemic. It's just not as overt as it once was, because now you can break through if you know it. They just keep you dumb. See? It's a shame. You can't fix stupid. That's why you have a political system that is all one-sided, but we can't agree on what color to paint a white wall. But
the
we could all vote the same way.
Who's got the better master?
No matter what socioeconomic status I live in, where we are, if you look like me, at least 80% of you will vote for the same person the same way, like we have the same issues. Case closed. Systemic. No, did I win that one? Ding, 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 ding. Yes! Okay. I won one. You can have the other one. I'm serious. Larry, and it's not racism. It comes into knowledge. Because Appalachia and inner city are the same in a lot of ways.
Very much. Very similar.
But race does play a part because I still can't become Becky. No matter how hard I try. Because there's somebody who's always pushing against you and says, you're not one of us.
I didn't say it was easy. Because I use this with my kids. I've my bonus kids, kids that I've mentored, and now my nieces and nephews and my grandkids. I've always said that the the bigger your goals, the bigger your hurdles that you must overcome.
That's true.
And I still believe that to this day, and I do believe that if you jump, yeah, there's going to be a hurdle you'll fall on, but you get up and you keep jumping.
To whom much is given, much is required. That is true.
I've seen it too many times. And you brought up a point that Appalachia, where I grew up, is very similar to the inner city, and that's true.
Oh, absolutely.
All my neighbors, you know what we had in common, and in East Liverpool, for all the things it is, it is got a higher percentage of African American than Columbiana County does overall, right? But Tracy, there's like it's a third of what the national average is. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Okay, Larry, I'm from Hubbard.
What we all shared in common, though, me, my white friends, my Puerto Rican friends, there wasn't a whole lot of Hispanics, from Mexico, but my Hispanic friends, my Indian, you know what we had in common?
What?
We were all poor. Every one of us was poor.
Well, see, Larry, we need to understand, I'm from Hubbard, and Hubbard was whiter than East Liverpool. And I think I think I'm a couple days older than you, maybe two.
Because
I celebrate
decades. Couple decades.
Couple, I said double days. And as I celebrate 40 years this year, and I look back,
the 40th celebration of your 25th birthday.
Uh huh.
Okay.
And I look back on. I entered school in 1970, and that was a tough time to go into a white school, especially when it was all white except for the three black kids that came in on the same bus, and all the whole school came in on one bus. And you see everything was racist, but everything was systemic. And systemic meaning it's kind of hard to be an outlier when everyone is against you. Standing up for President Trump when the world is against President Trump is not easy. Standing up for a black person and black rights when the world was against it, people were not trying to fight that fight because they had their own fights to fight. And that wasn't their primary fight. And the mind-washing, brainwashing that they did through the media caused a schism that we still see to this day, because I'm still not George Jefferson, I'm still not the Evans, and I'm still not the Cosbys. And getting people to get past the culture clash, Trump's not a racist, Trump is a culture clasher. You have classism. How do you play with black people if you don't know any? How do you play with white people if you don't know any? And it's not what you see on TV. And how does poor play with rich?
I don't know. When we were all poor, I only know a couple rich.
But the kid, I think, what would have happened if you had been rich and they had been poor?
Yeah, it would have been different.
Oh, you understand?
Yeah.
And do you and remember, parents and people are in competition with each other that you don't even know about as kids. There are dynamics going on that have nothing to do with race. Because I believe race in America is all about competition and not wanting to compete against black people. So I will keep you down because I'd rather not keep you down than compete with you.
I would agree with that. Because there was nothing... that there were true racists, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That hated more than was a successful African American. And I was a little different because I was also a straight A student. I didn't get my first B in high school till my senior year. But so they couldn't attack, and that was because that was from an illiterate father. Got his high school diploma, can't read it. And my mother dropped out of school because she was just finished her freshman year when she got pregnant with me. But all four of their kids went off to, you know, to college, advanced degrees, you know, that because education was important.
Okay.
Right?
But you played football too, Larry, didn't you?
Yep, but didn't realize that sports would be my ticket to getting a scholarship, because as a first grader, my father, the illiterate father, went to the, because I was reading in first grade, like not if, then, the, I was reading to the class. And I remember him, the only reason at that time I remembered it, because nobody else's parents was there, but my dad was sitting in the back of the classroom, Tracy, and I saw that man cry twice.
Wow.
Twice. That day.
Wow.
Because his son was reading, and one Christmas that he couldn't get us any gifts. That was the only time I ever seen that man cry. But it was important to him because he was not, you know, he was a victim. He could have claimed that victimhood, but he wouldn't let it. He said, okay, this happened to me. He accepted what happened to him, but he wasn't going to let his kids befall that same process. So I was going, I turned down academic scholarships.
But this
one of my best friends in this world today, Missy Todd, thanks me every day because a lot of the scholarships that I had to turn down, she was a recipient of, and her dad's company had went belly up. They wouldn't have been able to afford to send her to Tulane.
But this is the issue. Larry, look at this.
Yeah.
Look at what's going on today. We have monetized athleticism to the point to where becoming a brain surgeon is passe. And as a matter of fact, we have regulated the medical industry to the point where becoming a doctor is not a good job.
It's not as lucrative as it once was. I know doctors right now that are giving up their practice and going to the pharmaceutical companies and becoming pharmaceutical sales reps. They make more money.
Look at lawyers. We need to understand what we are doing to the processes of America. Again, going back to Donald Trump, going back to precedents, but look at the processes of America that are changing and eroding, and look at what people are aspiring to, and they do not realize they're aspiring to something that's not going to be there the way that it is today.
You're right. It's either entertainment or being an athlete.
That's a gladiator. Right now, when I look at athletes, when I look at the March Madness right now, that's what you call a major gladiator sport, because you have no money. You will not be in the stands. You will not be at the game. You will not hang out here. So listen here. Let me play these guys the whatever they do to entertain me. And I'm all aspiring to be you. But you best have a good education and a job somewhere if you want to go play and watch the gladiators fight live. If not, you'll watch it at home, and you'll pay through your beer and your pizza. And America right now is playing everything like it's a sport. The legalization of gambling throughout this nation. Look at what we are producing. Yet we are going to indict a man because we think he didn't make his millions on his own because he had billions on his own. Do you want to? It's a farce. It's a witch hunt of nothing. It's almost like the indictment process. They wasted time. Even January 6th. I'm saying we need to wake up because we need to start looking at what's in front of us, Larry.
Yep.
And put the rest of this behind us and strengthen our borders, get back to God, putting our country and our families first, and becoming a sovereign nation. That's my campaign speech, and I'm sticking with it.
I think just to look at things not how you're told to look at them as they are, right? Like if you say, well, first of all, Trump didn't say anything different about the southern border than Obama, GW, Bill Clinton before him. They all said, we're going to strengthen this wall. We're going to do this. But Trump said it, and all of a sudden, he doesn't like Mexicans. Do you know how many different people are coming across the border down there in Texas, South Texas right now?
The China virus. And it was racist because Chinese people were offended. And can anybody tell me why do they have the Smollett people back on TV again? As we're winding down and for the day. Why is the Smollett, I mean, really?
It was those two brothers you're talking about?
The two Nigerian brothers who got the check from the dingbat who tried to create a race war for empire. Why is he back in the news?
They want to get more of their fame, I guess.
That's not more of their fame. Why are they covering it, Larry? Do you understand there's a drug called zombie. ChatGPT-4 is going to change your world. There are things going on in this world that we need to be talking about, we need to know, and we need to have inside the narrative in news and information that no one is getting. Newspapers are no longer on the corner, and information is not being disseminated to the American public so that they can actually make a good decision. How do you know how much to fill up a tire if you don't know what the poundage is?
Or where to find it.
What is that? You open the tire, right, and put the air in with a knife.
Yeah,
you understand me? And systemic, I'm looking at slave labor. We're slaves still and don't know it. In America, free, going to work, paying taxes, still slaves. Land of the free, home of the brave. Where did that come from? And where is it now? White picket fence in the suburbs is not what I call land of the free, home of the brave. Right now, we're getting ready to have a police crisis this summer that like we've never seen before. And they want to talk about indicting a former president because he had a Lewinsky? Really? I'm just saying, I'm done. I just can't comprehend. And the conversations that I have with people and how they tell me, well, no one is above the law. Really? I mean, don't get me wrong, but I'm a speeder. You speed?
Have I been caught speeding? Not recently.
Good answer. You understand? I admit to nothing, but you understand. I speed down the road, and if you catch me, I sped. But do you understand that we all are not above the law, but you don't want to go to jail, and you want to bring down your family because you were speeding to the hospital because your wife was pregnant. You don't want to pull me over and cause a real commotion ruckus because I was breaking the law. And don't get me wrong, you know, whatever it is, I have not looked at the details, but I do know what's going on in New York right now. That's a mass witch hunt that is going to erode and blow back and backfire on all of us as Americans in ways that I don't think, Larry, we will be able to imagine. They should have never taken President Trump off of Twitter. You never take a sitting president. I don't care what he does. He's a president. He's the most powerful man in the world, and you censored him. He would hold press conferences, and the media would not cover him on public national television.
But you would allow foreign dictators on Twitter.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. We had the World Health Organization, and we had the UN navigating us through COVID because you didn't like President Trump, and they are not elected by Americans. Right now, we're fighting a war that is not ours because we're in something that we should not be in because we're funding something that is not our war. But we created it because we are NATO. And when you don't have a leader, you spiral out of control. And right now, we are so much out of control that we should all pray and ask God's grace to give us some stabilization and to forgive us and help us get it right.
Tell you what, Tracy, he's coming to Waco, Texas, about 5 minutes from my office down there on Friday, and I may go. And I'll tell you how if I go.
Please do. If you get do some recording, we can record it and put some and do some interviews. You know, you can do anything with that phone, and we can embed.
And I've had the opportunity to meet that guy a couple times and declined all of them. But I would.
Well, I'm just saying.
We'll see how it goes.
This has to stop, and America needs to know that America has done a lot of things wrong, and they still are. America ain't been right. That's why Eric Snowden is sitting in Russia. Please understand. America, the FBI had tapes on Martin Luther King. Malcolm X, they tried to kill. Please understand. There are laws that were made in this nation by men to demonize people. Not just black people, but people. It's your government that you have turned your life over to is your God. Because right now, you have a displaced affinity, and it needs to move out of what it's in and away from where it is. Because your government is not your friend. You're listening to Tracy and Friends in the Afternoon. Got Larry Long with me. I'm Tracy Winbush. We are a live call-in, and I'm trying to do something that has not been done, which is allow you to call in by phone and have voice conversation with us live while we're streaming so that you don't have to hold on, you don't have to stop and be on video. You can just call in. So as you hear, as you see, please write the number down, and you can call in and have a conversation live with us. We can hear you. You can hear us, but there's no video of you. It's safe and secure, and we want to have a respectable, honest discourse with everyone. Larry, we appreciate you. We thank you.
Hey, thank you, Trace, and I'll see you soon.
I have a question for you. Is he a hero?
Yes, ma'am.
You said he's a hero?
Hero in my book.
I think he's a hero, and I hope he's not a martyr. Ah.
But they're going to martyr him if they arrest him.
I hope he's not a martyr. Hey, Larry, we'll see you guys next time. God bless.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.